Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Slugging, DIY microneedling and sunscreen contouring. Social media skincare trends have exploded. But if you're planning to try any of them, how can you be sure that you're not doing irreparable damage to your skin? Well, Dr. Rosemary Coleman, our resident skincare expert, is here to tell us about the trends you should and shouldn't try at home. And remember, if you have any queries for Rosemary, you can text us 51551. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning, Claire.
Do you find it frightening when I list all of those things that people are doing to their skin?
Fascinating, really, isn't it? That's all I could say.
People are trying out the things that they've seen, aren't they, on social media? And you have had a few people come to you where things went very wrong for them when they followed the trends.
Yes, well, one thing we see a lot of is, particularly in the younger generation who followed the bloggers, they seem to think that because a blogger makes a statement, it's a fact, it's evidence-based and it's true, and then they'll follow it. They don't take into consideration whether or not this particular product is going to suit their skin type or skin need. If so-and-so says X is good, well, everybody gets X. So two of the biggest problems we see are either that people are overusing too rich products for their young age, leading to occlusion and what we call acne cosmetica, whereby they're literally coming in and they're laying out all the skin products on the table, and they will have like a few different serums and a few moisturizers, and the person might be only 25. Mm-hmm. And the other thing they're doing is they're using very active skin products, sometimes far too active for their young age. So, and they're overusing them. So just because a little bit of retinol is good, more is better. So they're using retinols, glycolic acids, home peels, and they're doing the whole lot together without any real structure or guidance for their skin type. So they're stripping, they're wasting their money, they're stripping their skin of the natural oils, and they're increasing their sensitivity and infections.
Okay. Many people, though, are gravitating towards products that allow them to mimic the salon experience at home, especially over the last 5 months up to when things opened up a little bit. So let's go through a few of them. Facial steamers. Now, people are using them to open pores and deep clean the skin, but should they be using them at all?
Well, this isn't a new device, Claire. Facial steamers are around a very long time, and I can't say that that's been a problem in my clinic, or at least the patients aren't telling me. The only thing, I had one patient who was using it all the time, and she had broken an awful lot of blood vessels on her skin, a bit like if she was in and out of the sauna all the time. So I suspect that using the occasional facial steamer correctly, not burning, to open pores and have a deep cleanse mightn't be a bad idea, but using them regularly would be ridiculous.
I would contend that you don't need a facial steamer. You need a bowl of water. And, you know, we used to do it when we were teenagers at home with the bowl of water and the tea towel.
Totally. And the towel over your head.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
I've never used a facial steamer.
There's a trend as well in buying expensive devices, probably a bit like the steamer. But these things, they send a microcurrent through your skin. They promise all sorts of things like tone and contour. How do you rate those products?
I don't. Again, you're dealing with heavy marketing and desperate people, okay? So these microcurrents are definitely not a facelift. These devices do not have the ability to stimulate fibroblast activity, which are the cells that make collagen, whereby you would need to heat them to 65 degrees Celsius to induce significant collagen remodeling. The machines can't do that. To do that, you'd have to go for probably the strongest machine we have or is available in clinics, a radio ultrasound Ultera. And even then, you will only get a 1 to 2 millimeter lifting all over the face. So there's no way those other machines could lift. Now, you may get a very temporary contraction, but it's extremely temporary. And some of these machines are really quite expensive. Mm-hmm. There are light device machines, and I do think that there's a role for those because particularly, for example, some patients with acne will use blue light masks and will find that they'll get a reduced bacteria and inflammation. and some people with inflammation on their skin will use the red light. So there is a role for LED, which is light emitting diode, because we use those in the clinic. But again, these are far weaker and they're not going to be the same as a clinic visit. But if you can't get to the clinic, that might help. I don't think you'll do as much harm with that.
Do you know what really worries me though, Rosemary, when I hear about people doing micro needling at home? Now that that's for me, that's frightening because you could possibly do real damage there.
You're quite right. Now, microneedling is something I poo-pooed for years, and then we actually started doing intense medical microneedling in the clinic for people with bad pigmentation, and I was very impressed with the results we got. But it's in a very controlled environment. They've local anesthetic cream on. The skin is very well cleansed. There's a very intense post-skincare regimen. With the microneedling devices at home, people think that the longer the needles, the more they hurt, the better, when in fact they will definitely run the risk of causing scarring, causing infection, etc. Hygiene is very important. If you're going to do home microneedling, and I do actually think there is a role, Claire, for some people, if you're going to do it, you want to be very careful about the device. You want a high-quality stainless steel needle device, not nickel, and you don't want deep needles. Like, you don't want the €11 microneedling device from Amazon, basically.
I'm shocked that you're recommending that people do this themselves.
I do think there's a role if people are chosen correctly. And by the way, these devices, it's all about money. So they are based on people replacing the roller heads. So the companies will say, oh, you must do this once or twice a day and replace the roller head every month. I am far more likely to say, consider doing this at the most once or twice a week, and the roller head is going to last you months. So I don't believe in people sitting at home, as you'll see some of the bloggers do, enthusiastically micro-rolling twice a day. I think what they're doing is almost creating controlled scar throughout their skin, and their skin will become quite waxy and solid. So it's like everything. More is not always better, but a little bit may well play a role, particularly if we have patients who we are treating for the very difficult condition, melasma, and we're doing treatment, say, monthly in the clinic. We may well suggest that they follow up in between with derma rollering, I'm getting tongue-twisted, over certain sera, because the derma roller will then help the sera penetrate through the channels right down into the skin. So it can aid the penetration of active ingredients.
Okay. Now, our listeners are in touch with us, Rosemary, as always, so let's go to some of their questions. Sunscreen for children is the first one. Is 24-hour sunscreen real? My creche wants parents to use it on their children in the morning so that they don't have to reapply during the day.
I'm not aware of a 24-hour sunscreen, Claire.
What about one that promises to last all day, though?
Well, presumably it's going to look like pseudocreme, but some sunblocks do have longer activity, but the general dermatology advice is reapply your sunblock every 2 hours. I think the important thing there is to use a child-based sunblock, which will be a physical block, a mineral block. Now, your average dull Irish day, and certainly between November and March, once a day will be more than enough. But if you're getting a glorious 24-degree day, I'm afraid the childcare institution will have to reapply at lunchtime.
All right. We have a 7-month-old baby now, recently on solids from 6 months, has been diagnosed with eczema, dry skin on both arms. I've been given cream to apply. What can I do to help the condition?
Well, I assume she's been seen by a pediatric dermatologist, and that condition can be extremely well managed in medical hands. She mustn't be afraid of using the medical treatments, using a little hydrocortisone appropriately. And then with regards to, I don't know if this was about sun protection, I would be recommending the physical sunblocks designed for children, such as HelioCare and Telios Aven. They all have children range.
We have a caller here, Rosemary, who has rosacea and is very self-conscious about it. Now, she's using a cream called Rosex, but finds that it's not as effective as she would like. And do you have any advice?
Again, Claire, I'd spend a half an hour giving her advice, but she could pop straight back to the GP and ask to try a prescription for Soolantra, which I find better than Rosex to start with. And if she has still got a lot of lumps and bumps, she could ask her GP for an anti-inflammatory antibiotic. And if they're not making progress, ask to be referred to a dermatologist who will go to the next level.
Okay, we have another listener who says, my skin, where I had a skin infection, is still red weeks after my GP said the infection had cleared up. And the listener would like to know, why is this and what should I do about it?
Okay, that often depends on whereabouts on the body the infection was. If it's lower limbs, for example, it will be far slower for the redness to go, and it might take a year for the redness to go. If it's in the upper part of the body, the redness will usually settle around the 6 to 8 week stage, but sometimes this is permanent and scarring, new blood vessel formation, and that can be treated with laser.
Mm-hmm. Just back to our social media trends now. We've a tiny bit of time left, but this one caused raised eyebrows in our office yesterday. Slugging. I never heard of it. I thought it was actually slugs, but it's not. It's Vaseline.
Well, we wouldn't be surprised, would we, Claire?
We wouldn't.
Well, you know, what's interesting about slugging is there's nothing new about slugging, but that the social media have suddenly developed this name to attract attention. So dermatologists often resort to the use of petroleum jelly products such as Vaseline or Aquaphor to aid barrier repair in sensitive, irritated skin that has become totally intolerant of all products, such as after a period of trauma. For example, if you've ever gone winter skiing or cycling on a very cold day, the skin can be very chafed and windburnt. That's a situation where a layer of Vaseline might calm it down. But Vaseline itself will not moisturize the skin. It occludes it. So
okay.
It prevents what we call transepidermal water loss.
It's just it's a block. It's not going to do anything or improve
all
anything.
That's all it is. And okay. What it will do is it will aggravate rosacea. It will cause acne. It can cause irritation if they put the Vaseline over their active skin ingredients. So using it very occasionally, but not as part of a regular skincare.
All right. I'm over time. Got to go, Rosemary. Thank you very much.
Claire.
And that's it for today. Thank you for listening.